Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Hayden of HVH Media and Marketing, and today we are discussing work ethic. We'll be covering intergenerational differences in regard to work ethic, what it takes to run a successful agency, hiring and nurturing different generational approaches to work and work ethic. Thank you so much for joining us today, Hayden.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this topic.
Yes, so am I. So would you like to tell us a little bit about your agency? I would love to learn a little bit more about HVH Media and Marketing.
Absolutely. So I will do like the short version, which is I have been in marketing for over a decade. I quickly moved up by using a lot of different kind of non-traditional tactics, and they were very successful for me. Mm-hmm. Got myself to the comfort of a C-level position and was working with, you know, billion-dollar brands, very successful, and had created a lot of connections and actually had the blessing of the previous employer that I had. And he was like, you're meant for this, like launch off on your own. You can do this. So cool. He became my first client when I launched on my own and ended up at HVH Media and Marketing. And it was so quick that I didn't even get to have fun with my name branding. Like I really just took my initials, knew what I was doing and was like, let's go. Because I had so many clients already interested in working with me that I couldn't sit there and strategize what was going to be great. I was like, I guess we're going under the Hayden brand. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So came right out of the gate, very profitable, obviously already had a client and really wanted to focus on what I had been doing, right? So all these different agencies that I had spoken to previously, you know, everyone always wanted to hone in on a specific area. They wanted to be experts. Well, being in the industry that I had been in and all of the expertise that I had in these CMO level roles, part of your job is to be great at everything.
Yeah.
And you need to understand the importance of being able to wear multiple hats. A lot of times they brought me into agencies or different brands or companies because they wanted somebody who was going to be able to check and balance the internal experts. So they wanted someone who understood the ins and outs of web development and digital marketing and influencer marketing and PR and all of these different pieces so that they could make sure that these people weren't kind of blowing smoke up their butt, right?
Yes.
So I would come in and I would be able to take each different house and, you know, revamp the entire internal strategy and make it run really smoothly. And I really became an expert in all of these different areas. So when I started my agency, I didn't want to just focus on one thing because I really was great at everything. And
yeah.
I wanted, I'm not even trying to toot my own horn. I knew that I could be great at managing people internally so that we could be great at everything.
Because yeah, there are, you know, your strengths and you embraced it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we were very successful in that sense. And I had a lot of great people who believed in me early on and are still with me. And it really worked to my advantage. So predominantly modern marketing, social media marketing, public relations, digital marketing, influencer marketing, and then any kind of branding is our focus. I do have one other agency, which is 21 North, which is more on the international scale and houses a lot of our PR clients. So those are my brands.
Gotcha. Very cool. And then what do you love most about running an agency?
This is one of those questions that I always get asked. Honestly, I love my work. I love what I do. It's so rewarding. During COVID, when businesses were struggling and they were turning to me for that make it or break it, right? Like they have their businesses on the line.
Yeah.
I kept a lot of people afloat during a hard time. I pivoted their strategies, you know, preemptive to all of the chaos that came as a result. Mm-hmm. And that is why I love what I do. Like I love that people come to me and they're looking for help and I'm able to give it to them.
Yeah, that's incredible. If you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
You know, I think the growth tip that I personally have had the most success with is that I have gotten very comfortable believing in my own strengths. And a lot of times we don't lead with that. We start with what we know to be a strength. And
especially as women.
I know. Yeah. It's like we follow these playbooks or we do things that we think we're supposed to do. And the sooner I started to lean in to who I actually was, the sooner I saw actually more growth, because who I am as a person, the genuity that comes with that, that authenticity and the risk taking, because I am known for being risky and it takes a lot to get people behind that. Like when you play it safe, sure, you might be in a better situation when it comes to, you know, the failures because they come.
Yeah.
But when you win big. And the sooner I leaned into that, right? Like who I am as a person, the bigger the success. And I really started to hit the next level then.
I love that. That's a great tip. That's awesome. So let's dive into our topic. So today I'm really excited to be talking about work ethic with you today. So let's start off by talking about how you would describe your own work ethic and what it takes to run a successful marketing agency, or two in your case.
I always assess my work ethic as just being a standard, right? Everyone always assumes that this is just how people work. But when I actually start to hire for people internally, or I meet with other people in other positions, I realize that my work ethic is unparalleled. Like you find it in other entrepreneurs that are really working for something, and it's on a different level, right? Like it's just different. You know, I haven't had a weekend. I haven't had a holiday. Actually, holidays to me, I look forward to because I won't be bothered by people so that I can work more efficiently. So like
I'm
when
the
it's
same. Christmas, oh wait, is that so
I'm
funny?
So excited about it. I'm like, oh, it's Christmas. I can get my work done in peace. And people are like, you're working? And I'm like, these are my favorite days to work. Holidays, weekends, nobody bothers me on those days.
Because you feel very relaxed when you're working.
No one's bothering you. There's no interruptions. Like you can streamline things. It's amazing what I get accomplished. But I also think that idea of work is just different, right? Like I consistently do a 14-hour day and it doesn't feel like work the whole time because I'm doing something that I just so deeply am passionate about.
Yeah.
And so when people think about work ethic, I think they assume that it has to be hard, right? There's like a certain, you know, misunderstanding out there that work has to be hard for it to be work ethic. But it's like, no, you just actually have to be pursuing a goal and trying to accomplish it. You can enjoy it too.
Yeah. Yeah. When you've got that passion and then combine it with having that goal. Yeah. And you just work hard, you'll achieve it.
Yep. So my work ethic, people think I'm probably a workaholic, I imagine. They're like, that girl is a workaholic. And they're probably not wrong.
Well, you do you, right? Like, not everyone, if the world was all run by entrepreneurs, we would not be in a good place.
No, you're totally right. It's not for everyone, but it's definitely for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, all right. So when you are hiring new staff members, what kind of intergenerational differences have you noticed when it comes to hiring and the work ethic of these team members?
So this is actually a really great topic for me right now because we have been in growth mode and hiring has been a big part of what I've been having to do recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm also very good about making sure that I have a steady flow of interns coming in because part of what I said when I started my agency was I was always going to be giving back to other women who wanted an opportunity. So I'm really diligent about making sure that I'm giving people access to the agency tools so that they get that experience and I'm still paying it forward as I promised I always would. Mm-hmm. But all of this stuff is time consuming, right? We're one person, even with good people underneath us, which you need to then have in place to help support you, it can still be a challenge. So the thing that I think I deal with consistently is everybody's being coached now in universities on how to write a really incredible resume and not live up to it would be the thing that I've noticed.
Yeah.
The hardest things I learned with the hiring process when I first got started was that nobody is who they say they are on paper. And that's good and bad, right? There's some people who write a really lousy resume and then in person, they're an incredible fit. And that judging someone by that piece of paper, that kind of archaic process is probably not the best fit.
Yeah.
So I've started to be more open-minded. I've been trying new styles of hiring tactics. I still do some of the old by the book ways, but I try and cast a wide net where I give people the opportunity to show me that they fit, because a lot of it is mindset, right? It's attitude, it's effort. It's more than just knowing how to do something. It's knowing that they can execute.
Yeah.
And so the difference that I've noticed generationally, like, you know, when it comes to a demographic that's more in like the 40 plus range, you're looking at people that want to be in office. They have a certain level of comfort with the knowing, like, this is where my desk is, these are my benefits. Like, they're used to a stability structure. Whereas when you get all the way down to like the Gen Zs, like the people who are coming out of college and such right now, mm-hmm. they want flexibility. They want remote yeah. work. They want to know they can work when they want. Sometimes they want you to convince them of why they should even apply for your job. And I've really had this. I've had interviews where people are, you know, doing more of the, well, why should I want to work for you? And I'm like, you applied for my job.
That's crazy.
I understand this mentality though, that they're coaching this new upcoming generation of, you know, there is less people that are available, that are great workers. And so the valued employees are coming in with a mindset that should be equally valued just as much as we are valuing them. And I understand mm-hmm. the mentality, but it definitely puts a wrench in the process of trying to hire people easily. Because when you're scaling, you're really just looking for someone who's going to show up, do a great job, fit in with that mentality, and be open to the idea of growing with you. And so I definitely feel like there's just a lot of just changes and differences among all of those different generations, and then trying to integrate that so it works well together, right? When somebody is older and has an expectation of, I need this person to be in office like I am so that I can work on this project, but this person wants to do stuff via Zoom, you start to then have culture issues too. So
yeah,
definitely
yeah,
a lot of pieces in play that I feel like is my biggest struggle with running an agency. All the other pieces always seem like there's an easier fix, but people is the hardest one for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting. So how does this affect your management style, since you have, you know, two very different demographics that you're working with and you're trying to find a happy medium in there in the middle with managing them?
I think and I have to be hard on myself here, right? Like, everybody always wants to say like, oh, I do a great job. I'm like, you know, I feel like my management style is always changing. Like, I'm always yeah. trying to heed some of the feedback that I get and take it in stride so that I can apply it, because not everything that I am going to immediately lead with as a leader is going to fit everybody. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes then have to be hard on myself and go, is this because this person isn't a good fit, or is this because I have too rigid of a structure of how I think things should be run? Mm. And I think being a manager is being very fluid in a lot of ways. You have to be able to be firm with boundaries in some areas, but then be able to be malleable in others.
Yeah.
And it's a constant learning curve. And the best advice I can give on that is make sure you're talking to your mentors, your peers, find out how other people are doing it, and then make it your own, right? Like, you can't replicate what somebody else is doing, but you can hear what other people are having success in, and then find a way to make it your own strategy that works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great advice. Is work ethic something you think you can change in a person, or you either have it or you don't?
So, a great, great question. I think this is like dating, right? Like, everybody always thinks they can change their partner, but the reality is they have to want to change for themselves.
Yeah.
And
that's such a great comparison.
It really is. Like, we all want to sit there and go like, I'm going to teach them, and the only thing you could potentially do is find a motivating factor for them to want to change themselves, right? Maybe mm-hmm. it's money, maybe it's a certain kind of bonus structure, maybe it's access to things, whatever they value. I'm big on that. I usually try and find out what my people value so that I can compensate them in more than just monetary ways.
Yep.
You know, everybody comes in, and because this is our vision, we can't assume that it's theirs. We pay them to care. That's part of the process. We pay them, and that amount is fixed for them, right? Their salary awards a certain level of care, and that salary, you know, might, you know, apply more care from one person than another, but they also have other interests outside of what they're doing for you. And so sometimes taking an interest in that and feeding into it. Mm-hmm. I have an internal person, you know, she's got good work ethic, but I think she has dreams of potentially, you know, she likes to model and she does a lot of the stuff outside of work. And so I usually try and put her in touch with brands and such that then use her for that. And I think she finds a lot of value in that. And I think that that also then helps her with her work ethic, right? She feels like I'm caring about her visions and her dreams. So she cares more about mine for more than just the actual salary side of things. So yeah. Think about all of these different pieces and these are just, you know, little parts of the bigger picture, but yeah. I think that they all weigh in.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So how do you gauge a person's work ethic in the hiring process?
So this is something that I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in. There are tools out there that can be a great help that I am looking into implementing because everybody shows up to the interview, you know, dressed to the nines a lot of times. And everybody brings their best self. And even in some of those preliminary probationary days that I bring people in just to test and see, it's like, again, it's like dating, right? You know, yeah. Everybody will put on the good show to get their foot in the door, but then how long does it last, right? Like, is it a far? And so, you know, I don't know that you can. I had some interns that started that I ended up hiring that in the first, you know, probably couple of weeks, they were just very shy at getting started. They're some of my hardest workers now. And then I had some people that, you know, looked like they were going to be superstars in the work ethic department. And the second they secured, you know, what they were expecting, the work ethic dropped off.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there isn't a judge a book by its cover or a perfect fit or some kind of nonverbal cue where you can indicate. It really is a little bit of trial and error, and you can start getting better at it. The more you see it, you can see things a mile away and you can, you know, amputate the limb before it festers.
Yeah.
But there's not really a foolproof strategy. And even I, as an agency owner, I'm seeing that more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a challenge. Do you do any sort of like a probationary period? I know like here in Ontario in Canada, we have a 3-month probationary period that you can do. And then you can, you know, let that staff member go if they're not a good fit and no questions asked.
Yep. So technically, a lot of times what I've started to do with people is I bring them on in a contractual way, meaning there's no obligation to, so you're not an employee yet, you're working to be an employee, but you have contractual hours that are at least enough so that people feel comfortable, right? Like you have this many potential project hours that would be a part-time or full-time person. We stay within the legal parameters where you don't obviously have a set schedule, you're not working on set things. We keep it very contractually based, but it's a good way of doing a probationary test period where people still feel like they're being compensated. There is some level of expectation, but then contractors can be terminated at any time, right?
Yeah.
You set it up, you put yourself in a position where it's like you have specific parameters, they know the expectations. I keep it in a probationary clause period. Usually it's like 30 to 90 days, depending on how I'm feeling about that person. And during that time frame, I really have had to do that too. Those firings, they don't feel good, but you can usually tell whether or not someone's going to be able to adhere to the aptitude that your expectations are.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to add on the topic of work ethic when it comes to running your agency?
You know, I think the other thing about work ethic is we do have to remind ourselves that nobody is going to care about our business as much as we do.
True.
And we also shouldn't have unrealistic expectations because then we're going to set ourselves up to fail. Mm-hmm. I definitely had to learn to temper some of that because things that come very naturally to us as owners is not always going to come naturally to somebody who is going to be a part of the vision, right? Part one of the doers, somebody who's going to help carry you to success, but they are necessary and pertinent to the process. And so we can't completely negate their value, but we do need to find that happy medium of, you know, what my expectations are and being very clear on what that is so that we can help foster the potential for them to win. You know, sometimes I think some of my previous errors came from me not being clear on expectations or me assuming that something was clearer than it actually was. So that's something that I think is really important to take away when it comes to work ethic.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how closely connected leadership is when it comes to assessing the work ethic of your team. And because, yeah, leadership, you know, it's a whole topic on its own. You can study for ages. There's so much to it. It's really interesting once you're able to really dive into, you know, different personality types and clearly communicating and like building people up, finding out what their goals and aspirations in life, and then, you know, serving them in that way. It's it can really bring out a different part of a person if it's done correctly.
I agree. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I'm very curious, where do you see HVH Media and Marketing in 5 years' time?
So 5 years, so I'm just trying to get through this year. No,
just trying to get through the pandemic.
Yeah, I know, right? No, so for me, 5 years out, I imagine that HVH will be a much larger entity. This year, I'm already seeing the capabilities of this growth and the interest and just how happy current clients are and how they're doing a lot of our marketing for us now. You know, mm-hmm. clients are happy, which means more clients are coming in, and we're able to stop spending on a lot of our own agency like marketing efforts because people are talking about us. And that's awesome. Is a good position to have. But without some good work ethic, we will be halted with scalability.
Yep, it's true.
So, ideally, I see HVH moving to be a very successful agency with multiple homes and people who are able to use it as a foundation for thriving in this industry. It will give people great experience. I plan to be very involved on a philanthropy side of things. You know, I really care about making sure women feel empowered. I have a kind of a weird, unique story where it's like, you know, 5 years ago, I was totally broke, and now it's not the case. You know, I had every setback possible and a lot of failures and built this out of nothing. And so I like to give that same opportunity to other women who have similar drive. And so that's something I continue to want to do and grow. And I imagine there will be other businesses that come as a result, right? Like HVH is a great marketing firm, so it will probably come with me launching some of my own brands. And utilizing some of my own tools to do that so that it can become something great that I can feel proud of. And that's the plan.
That's awesome. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So this one, I will tell you, it is multiple books. I grew up without television. So because I grew up without television, I can never ever pick just one. Mm-hmm. I have read so many different books in so many different genres, but I think foundationally, the ones that I always think of first are poetry. And part of poetry that coincides with what I do now, the Robert Frost, the Emily Dickinsons, I think of them when I think of my marketing, because the idea that you could create something like a literary masterpiece and then weave in the imagery and capabilities and the things, like even when you come think of Shakespeare, it's like iambic pentameter. Like, it's hard enough to write cohesively and tell a story, but then to add form and these metaphors and allusions, there was just something so absolutely beautiful and amazing to me about poetry. So when it comes to books, that's always what I think of. But I'm a voracious reader. I have Audible now. Like, if you're a business owner and you're not reading, like, you're falling behind. So
yeah, definitely.
One of the most recent ones I'm doing is Gary Vee's collection of books. So I'm like trying to like get through those now. Really trying to take some of his stuff, like his jab jab, you know, right hook kind of mentality. I've been feeling that one felt more simple, I guess, for me when it comes to like the marketing mindset. Like, that's more of like a starter book for people who are already in our position. But I want to get through all of his stuff because he's a powerful, awesome, incredible business professional. So
yeah,
I will absorb anything he has to say.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Morning routine changes based off of, you know, who and what there is a call with. So like if I have an international call, my morning starting at a totally different time.
Okay.
And then I have certain days of the week that we do agency meetings that are in person, but most of it is virtual right now, obviously at comfort, for people. But we have like one or two a week where if people want to come and meet in person, we do those. And those are usually structured on like Wednesday timeframe, occasionally Mondays. And so throughout the week, my schedule is evolving to fit whatever the needs are of clients and then my internal people. I fit things like this in, but I'm usually always booked out in advance, very far in. So, but the morning routine is, I mean, aside, the only thing that's consistent is coffee.
Gotcha. Okay. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
So I have a lot of different CEOs that I follow and study. I mean, you've got everyone all the way up to the Elon Musks that you're just like, how? Like just trying to quantify what it means to be on that level.
Yeah.
But I, you know, Stacey Taubman, she is the CEO and founder of Spritz Med Spa, Rise Collaborative Workspace. She is just incredible. She's such a powerhouse. And I usually go to her for mentorship advice because she's dealt with all of these problems.
Awesome.
But then you look to like the Sarah Blakeleys and the, you know, Whitney Wolf Herds, like those women, you read the stuff they do and things they say and then how they operate and just their thoughts. It's hard not to think that they're just so remarkable. So I look to them too.
Nice. And what is your favorite online tool?
I'm going to go, I have three that I collectively feel like without them, I would just be so miserable. So mm-hmm. I love Later. I'm a social media person. So Later is a great tool more than the Icona Squares, Hootsuite, you know, the Zendesk, all the other ones that are out there. I love Later. Later is tried and true, nice. But also Slack and Asana. I like to communicate effectively in a place where it can track everything. And then I love being able to know that I have this to-do list in Asana where everyone's able to see what's going on and you can see that bigger picture in a very visual way. So those are my three tools that I think are very helpful foundational pieces for anyone.
Nice. I know we use Asana as well and it's a lifesaver. It's amazing.
It's so great.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
One thing I wish I had known when I began my career. I wish they would tell you just how rewarding it could feel to win, but how painful it can feel to fail and that failures are a part of success.
Yes.
And that you have to be able to brush them off and look at them differently. Like failure doesn't feel the same way now. Honestly, failures are my stepping stones to success. I'm like, oh, I'm close, right? Like before, failure feels like such an ego blow. You're like, oh my God, I failed at this.
I know.
Now I'm like, oh, I've only got like two more of these before I succeed. I think that is something that they don't talk to you about, right? Like you go out there and you don't realize that that's a piece of success. Actually, most success is how you handle your failure.
Yeah. When you are able to look at failure and get excited because it's like, okay, I pushed myself out of my comfort zone. I took a risk. Like these are all good things that you should be doing. And then you learn a valuable lesson from it. It's all good things disguised as, you know, a failure.
Failure. The F word.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Hayden. It was so great chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.